book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 25. Verse number 25. I'll be honest with you, all week this week I've been bothered by water. Not that I've been in a flood, praise the Lord. But water, everywhere I've gone that I've been riding or driving, seems like I come across a mountain stream or a river. And makes me think back to going to my grandpa's old home place there, and they have an old spring house down there below their house. And we'd get down there and get us an old gourd, dip us out some water there. You ever done that? Dipped you out some water in the old spring house there. Grandpa Waldrop's house. And over at Grandpa Haney's house, they have another place. Water comes up out from a rock down below it down there. Beats all I ever seen. What a beautiful place. Get in there and clear it out just a little bit. Might get leaves on or whatever. Clear it out just a little bit. It'll get real muddy for a second. And next thing you know, it runs pure again. Boy, there ain't nothing like getting some good old water off of Grandpa Haney's place. And then my great-grandpa Gillespie, he had an old spring house, a well house that he had there. My mind, every time I've seen these streams, I've been thirsty. I sat there, I was riding the other day, and I said, you know, it's amazing. I said to who I was riding with, I said, it's amazing. But everywhere I go, I've seen water. I've seen it running off of this and around the old water wheel there, and water just keeps coming to me. I don't know what it means to me, but water keeps coming. I started thinking about it, and I said, you know what it is? I'm thirsty. I'm needing a drink. Well, I'd like to go back to Grandpa Gillespie's place. Been a busy week for me, real busy. Ain't had one night, not one night all week. I'm not complaining, not one night all week, just to sit down with the family and kick around and eat dinner. We're just going all week long like that this week. And I'm telling you, I'm thirsting for a drink from Grandpa Gillespie's spring house. I've been thirsting for a drink from Grandpa Waldrop's old spring house. Been thirsty for a drink from my Grandpa Haney's spring house. I tell you, I just get talking about it, and I get thirsting for them old days. Boy, and then I got to thinking about the Word of God. I started getting thirsty for it, amen. Say, you're a preacher. Yeah, but I'm thirsty for it, amen. Longing for a drink from the Word of God, for a drink from the Spirit this morning. Something old-fashioned, old-timey, something that's saturated with the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm wanting. Proverbs 25:25, if you'd stand to your feet with me this morning. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Amen. Boy, don't you like to hear good news? Amen. Jesus saves. Here somebody got saved. Amen. I'm longing for some good news today, ain't you? Amen. I'm longing for some good news. I'm longing for a drink from the Word of God this morning. Now, just get down and lap it up, amen. All right, I want you to pray this morning. We're going to preach on the thirst of a desperate seeker. I'm seeking something this morning. I'm thirsty. Amen. Father, this morning I pray, God, that you would help us, quicken us, liven us up, Lord, I pray. Help us to look into this portion of your Word. And help us to preach what thus saith the Word of God, what thus saith the Lord, what thus saith the Spirit. Help us today, I pray, God, those that are attendants under the sound of our voice, Lord, that they'd not hear the preacher speak, but they'd hear the Word of God pronounced as the Spirit gives utterance. I pray today, God, you'd help us to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Very quickly, go back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 26. Genesis, chapter number 26. I'm going to deal with a young man today by the name of Isaac. He was a promised son, was he not, to Abraham? He was a young man that was going to obtain and inherit all the promises that his daddy had. And he was going to be moving towards living in the promised land. I want you to see Isaac, this great patriarch, Abraham's son. Genesis chapter 26, verse number 1. And there was a famine in the land. What land? the land of promise that Isaac was sojourning in, that he was headed for. There's a famine in that place. Point number one, there is a dearth. That means a famine, a place of dryness, my friend. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Realize today the promised son headed for the promised land was in a famine. Now, have you ever been in what I'd call a spiritual famine? Now, you've gone through physical dry places. Some of you have told me that your wells have just about dried up when it got so famine stricken, so dry around here. I can remember summers and days gone by when folks was hurting all around for something to drink. The crops was ruined. I can remember the old days over there in Madison County that they'd have prayer meeting to come and pray that God would send a little rain. That God would bless their crops, that the corn would grow, and that the beans and taters would prosper, amen. I believe in that, don't you? God don't owe us nothing. He doesn't have to send the rain, but I'm glad He does it, Brother Calvin, again and again in His own mercies when He sees fit to send it. And here this promised son, like dwelling towards the promised land, is in a famine. You may say, well, what good is the promise if I'm having a famine? Oh, let me tell you what. I found out long time ago, blessed be the day I figured it out, that when you're in a famine, God's the God of the mountaintop, and He's the God of the valley. He's the God of the wet place, and He's the God of the dry place. And He's just God, hallelujah. And here they are in a famine, just like Abraham had seen in his days, and now Isaac has come to a time of famine. There is a time of difficulty that'll come to every child of God under the sound of my voice. You will face difficult circumstances. There'll come a time when you sit down to read a word of God that it just don't flow out like it used to for some reason. Amen? And verse number two, I see some definite instructions. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Remember, his daddy Abraham went to Egypt, which represents bondage, which represents the world. When famine came, he turned to the world. I can show you about how Naomi's family, how she and her husband and her boys left the land of bread and praise and headed down for Moab, which was a washpot. Left the house of God for the things of the world because a famine had come. I'm telling you what, God gives definite instructions. Says there's a famine here. Yes, there is, but don't you go anywhere. You stay faithful and true to me. Don't you go to Egypt. You dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. Boy, I like it when God tells you what to do. Some definite instructions. He says, I will be with thee. Didn't He tell you? Didn't He tell me? I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Hallelujah, even in the famine, even when you're thirsty, the Lord is right there with you. Amen? And He says, I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Gerar means circle. I got to think about that circle, how Israel wandered around in the wilderness in a circle. And then God spoke to me and said, you know what it represents? Isaac was obedient. I told him to dwell in the land. He could have picked up and left and went somewhere else where I told him not to go, but he was obedient. You know what he told me? He said, I'll be a wall of fire roundabout, hey, and the glory in the midst. He's the one that's got all the heads around us. We're completely encircled by the power and by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Here, old Isaac is being obedient to the definite instructions of God in the time of a dearth or of a family or of a famine. Number three this morning, down in verse number 12, I want you to see the divine blessings. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year, in verse number 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. In the middle of a famine, in that same year, when it had been completely dry, Isaac plowed the ground. Preacher, there's no reason to plow the ground. It's as dry as it can be. Why in the world are you trying to add on the church over there? The economy's terrible. Have you seen the price of oil? Well, it's the highest I've ever seen. You're wasting your time. Yeah, but amen. Go ahead and plow the fields anyhow. God said do it. And if you'll do what God says do, it'll be all right. God will send a divine. And the same year Isaac stepped out on faith and plowed the ground, and all the Philistines and all the people around about him laughed. And the same year he did it, the Bible says that he reaped, or he received, 100-fold. 100-fold blessings, what he got. Preacher, what are you talking about? Do you realize the first year God sent me over here to Spruce Pine, in the first year I can mark it from April 1st to April 1st the next year, and you know how many God saved? 100. Exactly. And my mind goes back to what God can do. He said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I'll give you 100-fold. Now, I'm not serving him because of what he can give me back. I'm serving him because I love him. He's been good to me. Amen. And oh, Isaac here, he's serving him because he loves him. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and he went forward. And he grew until he became very great. Now, for you English buffs in here, watch this. How much did God bless him? My Bible did not say he was great. The superlative is very great. He definitely blessed him by making him not just great, but every word being inspired, he made him very great. Hallelujah. And watch this. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and great store of servants. Look down with me at verse number 16. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. Again, the superlative. He could have said, thou art mightier than we. But he said, thou art much mightier than we. God didn't just bless him, but he blessed him, my friend, to become not just great, but very great. And not just mighty, but very much. Much is the word mighty. Very great and much mighty. I'm telling you what, y'all. Every word being inspired, that tells me how much God wants to bless you. And how much he wants to bless this church. He doesn't just want to make the church great. He wants to make it very great. And I believe he is. I believe he has. And I believe he will. And he wants to make you mighty. Well, I'll never be mighty. Oh, greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world. And you're not just going to be mighty, but you're going to be much mightier than the world. Now I want to tell you, why did all this happen? In the middle of a dearth. In the middle of a famine. Because he obeyed God. Obedience is still better than sacrifice. That's what my Bible says. So we see the divine blessings of God. He had the prosperity, the blessings of God. Now I want you to see number four. Some deliberate destruction. Down at the end of verse 14, we jumped after where he said, for he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and great store of servants. And here's our deliberate destruction. And the Philistines envied him. They were jealous because he had the blessings of God. There may be people that don't like the church because she has the blessings of God. There may be people that stand opposed to you because God has blessed you. The world is at enmity with you. My friend, the devil's declared warfare on you. There are adversaries on every hand. They hate this church. There are some folks that call themselves right with God that's against the church. I don't believe you can be against the church if you're right with God. Who are you to say, well, my Bible teaches me that, amen. Paul went out, he persecuted the church, talked about the preachers, talked about the deacons, talked about the church, and my Bible says that Jesus showed up one day and said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Well, wait a minute, I wasn't persecuting you, I was just persecuting the church. If you persecute the church, you're persecuting Jesus. He is the head of the church, and you'll not separate the body, amen. Now, well, look what they did. For, look with me, verse 15, this is important. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. All those wonderful springs and wells of water that Abraham and his servants had built, Isaac's father, the Philistines hated Isaac so bad, they filled up his wells. You won't live without water. You have got to have water. And the Philistines hate him so much, my Bible says they filled them with earth. Now the Philistines represent the world. And they are so against Isaac, they make sure to stop up his well. Now, hear me. You and I have a well. He said, if you drink of this water, this earthly water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I shall give you, you'll never thirst again. In fact, it'll spring up what? An everlasting life, what the Bible tells us over there in the book of John chapter 4. And the devil, knowing that, he's going to do everything he can to stop up your well. He don't want you to be happy. He don't want you to have joy in Jesus. He don't want you to come back tonight. He's going to give you every reason, every excuse. You know what earth is? Earth is dirt. It is waste. It is filth. And the devil's going to give you, the Philistines will give you every reason not to be back in church tonight. Every reason to grumble. Every reason to complain. Every reason to stop up your well. Your well is a well of salvation. Your well is a well of joy and abundance in the Lord of how God's prospered you. And you'll never survive without the Word of God, without the Spirit of God, which represents water. You'll never survive. And the devil's going to do everything he can to fill that up. He's going to make you jealous. He's going to hate you. He's going to try to get you to get bitter at people. He's going to try to get you to start singing the world's music more than the songs of Zion. He's going to get you watching all the different people in the church and who does what and who don't do what and get you upset with who ain't here versus who is here and do all these things to you to get you upset and filled with hatred one towards another to judge one another rather than having that well to dip from. Amen. That's what the Philistines want to do to you. I said that's what the Philistines want to do to you. Bless God, if you don't wake up, I'll run the back of these pews up down through here. You know what I'm telling you? The Philistians are doing everything they can to stump up your well. And for some of us, they've been successful. Amen. We've lost our faithfulness, lost our desire for the things of God, lost our desire to be in the house of God, to read the Word of God. And I'm telling you what, it makes me angry that someone would fill up the well. Do you realize in that day and time, that if you went out in a desert place and you digged yourself a well and you had a place of prosperity there where you and your family could sit down and dwell there, a little possession, you could live there because you had water, provide for your family, provide for your flocks, that land of that well there, my friend, showed you were the owner of that property because you could survive there. And if anybody comes by and fills up your well, it's an act of war. I mean, they're trying to drive you away. You know what the devil wants to do to you at this church? He wants to drive you away. He wants you to get away from teaching these young people in their Sunday school class, in their Bible school class, in their Awana classes, amen. He wants to get you away from the house of God altogether. I'm telling you what, I ain't going to stand for it. And bless God, Isaac ain't going to stand for it. Watch what he does. Abimelech said unto Isaac, now he's done stopped up his well. That's an act of war. Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. In other words, he's kicking him out of the land. He says, we want you to leave. Boy, I've seen people turned out, ain't you? Amen. Kicked out, stopped up their well, and told them to leave. It's all right. Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Now I want you to think for just a minute with me. When we're first introduced, when Abraham had died, do you know where Isaac was? He was found, according to the book of Genesis, dwelling by the well Lehori. He was by the well. You realize when Isaac wanted to find a wife, and his daddy sent his servant out. He came down there where they drew water, down to the very well. And Rebecca came out carrying a pitcher. He met his wife at the well. Boy, to Isaac, the well is important. And my friends, they drove him from the land and stopped up the wells. But watch this. Isaac is not noted for building big cities. He's not noted for erecting altars or monuments. Every time you see Isaac, when I think about him, you know what he's doing? He's digging a well. Every time he's digging a well. Preacher, what's important about them wells? Well, I kind of like what first thing he does is he goes to where his father's wells were stopped up, and my Bible says he begins to open them or dig them again. Do you know how he does it? On his knees. With his hands. One by one, pulling out them stones and them rocks and all that filth of earth. And maybe he used something to be a shovel there to, you know, something kind of sharp. Now listen now, y'all, the water's still down there. The water's still down there. That's the grace of God. It's still down there. But somebody's going to have to get down and do a little digging. It ain't just going to run out the top. It's been filled up, stopped up with earth. That means you got to do something about it. You can't put up with all this jealousy in your life. You can't put up with all this bitterness and hatred. People saying stuff about you and you want to go around and say stuff about them. I'm telling you what, just take the wrong, amen. Jesus did it and he's all right. Get down and dig out the well. I'm telling you what, you get down digging enough, amen. Your hands start hurting. You start getting down there working. I'm telling you what, your tears start welling up in your eyes. My Bible says, a broken, a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. I got to read in Isaiah about the joy, about the wells of joy and the wells of salvation. And I'm telling you what old Isaac was digging was wells of provision. God had already provided a well, but the devil stopped it up. I'm telling you what, this church needs to dig again. You need to dig again. The devil's trying to keep people from getting saved. He's trying to get you busy on everything else. But the reason we're here is to preach and teach the Word of God. And the souls of men might be saved. And that you and I as believers might be discipled and follow Jesus. And I'm telling you what, amen, there's a reason to dig the well. Our youngins need the Word of God. Our youngins need to see the Spirit of God. And we need to get on our hands and knees and dig them again, amen. Because the world's trying to stop it up. I don't know about you, but old Isaac, he'd been kicked out of the land. His daddy's wells are stopped up. I'm sure he's fighting man. He's come down to the valley of Gerar. He's got flocks to provide for. He's got a wife and he's got families all dependent on him. But they ain't got no water. He's thirsty. I'm telling you what, he's thirsty. And he says, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go back to the old well. And I'm going to dig it again. There's water down there and I'm longing for it. I'm telling you what, we need to ask for the old paths. We need to go back to the Word of God. Back to being faithful to the things of God and the house of God. Amen. I'm telling you what, old Isaac begins to dig again. He opens those old wells of provision. You know that well of salvation. The well that the Savior has provided for us. But he doesn't just stop there. My Bible says in verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Now here's old Isaac. He's unearthing those old wells. Wells of salvation. Wells of Scripture. And while he's digging, his servants come and said, Isaac, you sent us down here to dig in another place and we found water. Not just any kind of water. Springing water. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you what. I'd go to Grandpa's well. I never did have to smell the stench of dirty water. You ever smell that old dirty water? I mean, riding down through some of them places down the interstate and get off some of them country roads down yonder. And man, I'm telling you, swamp water. It's stagnated, dirty, muddy, nasty old water. You may be thirsty, but bless God, you won't drink that. It'll make you sick. It's awful. They didn't find that old standing water, that old murky stuff. They said, we was digging there. And we've hit springing water. I mean, we hit the right spot and bloop, out of there she come. I like springing water, don't you? That's what lives inside of you. It's springing water, living water, everlasting life. The Spirit of God lives inside there. Watch this now. They're digging new wells. They're digging new wells. Preacher, you think I need to dig some new wells? Well, here what I'm going to tell you. I want to tell you this. Somebody here, I had to write this down. You hear today, say, preacher, now, a minute ago, you was talking about the blessings that God had on Isaac. I don't have my street, ain't paved with gold. I ain't getting a new Rolls Royce every day. And Isaac got 100-fold. Don't understand it. Let me tell you what you do have. My friend, you have eternal life. And you'll never have to worry about going to hell. That's right. You know what? You've got the presence of God working in your life. and you ain't never alone. You've got the power of God on you, and you ain't never hopeless. You've got the promise of God, and you're never without hope. You've got the Word of God, and you're never without direction. And here, my friend, old Isaac gets down. He begins to dig and dig and dig. And there's old wells provision. And here they come telling him about a new well. What's that new well? What about your prayer life? Hey, some of you need to not just rediscover your prayer life. There's some new places your prayer life can take you to. Places too wonderful for me to talk about. Places you ain't never seen nor known of to just get down and commune with Him in prayer. I'm talking about personal devotion wells, amen. Just getting down and digging them new. Look what happens here. Now the herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, the water is ours. Wait a minute. Bless God, who dug the well? Isaac and his servants dug that new well. And now those Philistines, and they've run back down there and said, the water's ours. They gonna claim what he just dug out. And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. You know what Esek means? Contention. Contention. The devil's going to cause you to struggle. Hey, look at me. Am I the only one in this building this morning that's been in a struggle this week? I'm telling you what. There's been adversaries. I mean, there's been spiritual darkness and wickedness and high places, things that I'm wrestling against that I don't even know. And there's been contention. There's been a struggle. And I've got a well, and the devil wants to take it. Look what happens here. They digged another well. What'd he do? When the devil started contending with him, he said, bless God, I'll just dig a new one. Well, I'm telling you what, some of you ought to dig a new well. I'm just going to stay right here, preacher. I'm going to dig me, hallelujah, new well. They digged another well and strove for that also and called the name of it Sitna. Almost sounds like Satan, don't it? You know what that word Sitna means? Hatred. Bitterness. They dug a new well and here they come again trying to claim it. Ain't it amazing? When you make a dedication in your life for God, the devil will oppose you and try to get you to retreat. Try to get you to back it up. You'll dig a well out, claim it for God, get faithful, and the first thing he does is try to find some reason to take you out. That's what he's trying to do, y'all. What am I going to do, preacher? Keep digging. My Bible says he removed from thence. Now he's dug two new wells. The enemy's got them. He removed from thence. Let me say this. Sitna. How you're hated. My Bible says you shall be hated for my name's sake. You are going to be hated. You are going to be disliked. I don't care what your calling is, what it is you're supposed to do. People ain't going to like you. I mean, some of you sit here today got the pooch slip because somebody don't like you. I'm telling you what, if I come in here with that today, I wouldn't preach. Some of these people don't like me. You go to some of them, son, they'll tell you, I got a whole list of stuff. Most of it ain't true. Some of it might be, but it's forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah to God for that. And if people's not going to like you, the devil's going to find a reason, amen, to get you hated. And you'll be hated for his name's sake if you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now let me say this morning. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, he removed from thence, verse 22, and digged another well. And for that they strove not. They didn't fight him over this well. Ain't that amazing? And he called the name of it Rehoboth and said, for now the Lord hath made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. Finally he dug a well. The devil couldn't, I sometimes wonder. The Bible says our life is hid by Christ. Amen? In God. That's what it says. And I think the devil didn't come down there and the Philistines didn't come down there and strive with him on that one because God made a place for him. You know what? God's got a place for you. Didn't he say in the book of Philippians, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Ain't that what he said? I'm telling you what, Isaac's thirsty. He's seeking the old paths, the old things. He's digging that again. He's digging new prayer life and new personal devotion. The devil's contending. He hates him, he's bitter against him, fighting against him. But he keeps finding a way, saying, you know what, I know. He said, if I thirst, that he'll give me water. And I'm looking for a place. And he says, I'm going to supply your need. Hey, some of you, you've been digging. Preacher, I've been digging. He's fought me. There's a place you can get to that the devil can't enter. And Rehoboth means room for us. Boy, I'm glad there's room. Amen. At the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. But let me go on. I'm almost done. Ours wells of prayer, wells of personal devotion, digging new wells. But watch this. Verse 23. He went up from thence to Beersheba. I studied that. Beersheba. Watch this. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. Hallelujah. And will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. You know why God's going to bless you? Not because of you. You're a sinner. But he's going to bless you for Jesus' sake. You keep serving him. You keep digging. Amen. He's going to bless you for Jesus' sake. And he built an altar there. And he called upon the name of the Lord. And pitched his tent there. Look there. He's worshiped. There's an altar. Pitched his tent. And look what old Isaac does. I like it. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Well, hallelujah. I think I'll just dig another well. Amen. Well, you go to the altar all the time. You wear that altar out. I'm tired of seeing you go to the altar. Leave him alone. They're digging a well. How you dig it? I showed you. That's the way you dig it, amen. Now watch this. Go to the end of chapter. I'm going to skip some down about verse 32. Now, it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. You know what that is? Hear me. Sheba means well of the oath. Now we've talked about the well of provision, the well of prayer. We've talked about the well of our personal devotion. But he said Sheba, the well of the oath. You know, this morning, God's made us a promise, not only that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but that he's coming again. I can just go digging a well right there. It just excites me to death because he's made you and I a promise that he's coming. Friend, he's going to give you victory. Amen. Preacher, what is it I need to do? Well, I want to ask you. You look around here, you see these young people. They're going to need some water. You better make sure the well's open for them. That makes me want to contend. My Bible says in the book of Jude that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You need to fight for what our fathers believed. You need to fight for what it is you believe. I want to tell you what this morning. Oh, Isaac was thirsty. And he went out seeking. He digged a well. And he found living, springing water. A place of substance. A place of blessing. Preacher, I'm so far gone. God can't bless me. I'm telling you what, the devil would have you to believe that because he's trying to earth up your well. I'm telling you, best thing you'll ever do is get on your knees and say, God, I'm going to dig it again. I'm going to get the earth out of it. This old world and all of its junk, I'm going to get it out. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I'm longing for a drink from Grandpa's spring. I mean, the devil's put everything in my way to keep me from getting over there to that place, getting that little gourd and dipping it. But I'm going to say this. When you long for a drink from the Word of God, handed to you by the Spirit of God, boy, when you get thirsty, he said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Your head's bowed, nobody looking. Folks had come to instruments this morning play. Might be somebody say, you know what, preacher? God has encouraged me today to dig the well. The devil's tried to stop it up. He's tried to earth it up. And I'm going to re-dig those old paths. And Lord, there's some new things I need to be digging. And I won't trust you and do what's right by you. Yeah. Folks are moving this morning. As they're ready to play, what about you? Is there a reason for our young people that you need to dig? Is there a reason for your family you need to dig? You come on this morning. You be Isaac. You don't have to build a city, some great monument. You just dig a little well. God will meet you there. I believe with all my heart he'll meet you right there. Come on this morning. Remind him. Preacher, I don't have a well of salvation. I don't have a well of joy. Well, this morning it's already provided for you.
The whale's already dug.
Jesus is sitting right there waiting to meet you and give you the whale. Hallelujah. Preacher just want a drink. He wants you to have the whole whale. Come claim it today. Lord, all week, you allowed us to see water. Water, we've watched how it flowed downhill. That represents your grace, Lord. It comes from above and comes and meets us in our lowest point, in our lowest valley. The grace of God, the water flowing down, meets us at the place of the well. I'm so thankful for that this morning. Then, God, I watched that water up at Grandpa Gillespie's father years ago. I'd watch it at Grandpa Haney's and Grandpa Walter's. How it seemed like it come out from underneath the rock there. And they tell me water is made pure as it passes over rock. Well, I'm glad this morning. You're my rock. You're the rock of my salvation. You're the rock of rocks. You're the stone, Lord Jesus, this morning. And water flows from you and is made pure by you, God, this morning. These folks here, Lord, that needs to dig the well. God, our forefathers have stood. Lord, they've worshiped and praised you. But this old earth has tried to stop up the well. This old world's been opposed to it, trying to put dirt in it and filth in it to get us to turn away. But this morning, God, your servants, Father, they're in this altar this morning. They're digging, God. They're seeking your face, Lord, down on their hands and knees. And God, they're digging the well, God. And I pray that the servant of God, the Holy Spirit, would come down and say, we found water springing this morning, God. Bless him, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, you'd give encouragement. This old world's trying to fill our wells with discouragement, personal attacks, and intimidation. But I'm glad I met the one that owns the well, the one who's able to meet me there and bless me and supply me. Lord, this morning, God, I pray, Father, you'd meet the needs of this church, the needs of these individuals this morning, God. These folks in this place that are hurting. There's individuals today, God, if the truth would be known, down deep in their heart, they're crying because they've been hurt. They're crying because of things that's gone on. But Lord, this morning, God, they're not able to fix it, nor are they able to change those circumstances today. But God, I pray you'd help them to see. I think I'll just dig a well. I think I'll just read a little more scripture. I think I'll just pray one more time and get closer to God. Father, I pray, Lord, we'd get longing for the old paths, the old things of God, the Word of God, being faithful to your house. God, I pray, Lord God, you'd help us, Lord Jesus, to meet back again tonight, God. And I pray, God, you'd pour out a blessing, God, from your well, Lord, that only you can give. Oh, the Bible says, as cold waters is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And the good news is that Jesus is still on the throne, and he still wants to bless his people. God, I pray today, Father, you'd touch this people in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen.